I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rochester is old.
Oh, yeah.
Which means there's been a lot of scary, tragic, awful things that have happened over the years here. A lot of people have died under mysterious circumstances. And folks who are dying to go experience this stuff have a lot of places to go check out.
Nice.
Good news. There is now an expert who, if you want to experience the afterlife, will take you to all of the most haunted local places.
Fantastic.
And it turns out, Tommy, she knows of what she speaks because she has even had experience with these local ghosts.
So she's kind of a paranormal?
Paranormal would be the thing.
Yeah.
She's in contact because she understands.
Look, I'll tell you the story. You decide.
All right.
Breaker gives you the facts. You decide. You're hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF, Halloween tomorrow, Tommy.
Yeah, buddy.
Ooh.
So scary.
And for those who are looking for something scarier than a 12-foot skeleton in a Henrietta front yard, we have something for you.
What do you got?
Rochester Candlelight Ghost Walks.
Oh.
10NBC did a bit of a profile on them over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The organizer, her name's Jenny. She takes people all over the greater Rochester area to the most haunted spots. Mount Hope Cemetery, Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Place folks say is very scary.
A lot of souls in there, Pat.
And Jenny, who's walking folks around with candles, talking about the paranormal experiences of the greater Rochester area, said she has had ghost encounters while in Mount Hope Cemetery.
So she's interacted with the spirits.
Yes. This is Jenny talking about her paranormal experience at Mount Hope with 10NBC.
I personally have witnessed a phantom jogger in Mount Hope Cemetery. I got locked in one evening, and I couldn't find my way out. And as I was waiting for security, a man just jogged right on by. Looked like you or I, solid. I start calling out to him, hey, I need some help, I'm locked in. And he just sort of jogged straight into a tree and disappeared. But behind that tree was a nice little hole that I was able to sort of scurry under that evening.
Okay, I got a question.
Sure.
Why does a ghost need to jog? Am I plumping up in the afterlife? Hey, better lay off those afterlife Reese's cups. I got to work some of this spirit fat off.
You bring up a great point. If you die and I still have to work out and watch my cholesterol.
You really got a weight problem.
What the?
I'm blowing up here, man.
You don't believe Jenny?
Well, could you make,
At least stick with something.
I do have a question, though.
Like horseback.
Couldn't you make that
something?
Couldn't you make that argument for every ghost? Like ghosts that are like in a factory. Like,
but
man,
you're
stuck at work the rest of your life as a ghost.
But you're using a modern form of exercise to lose weight. Nobody
jogged.
Nobody jogged in the
1800s. No, but that
people
could have
in
died.
The 1800s ran for their lives.
No.
Like the dynamite factory was on fire.
You didn't listen. You did not listen to what she said.
Is there Indians over there? Let's get the hell out of here.
Question, you can have a modern ghost.
Do you really sell modern ghosts?
Well, I don't know. That's what she said. She said
you
got to
go way back, right?
I'm kind of with him. If I'm going to see a ghost, I want old ghosts.
You want like Civil War guy?
Yeah.
Something from the
but
Revolution.
There are new if there's old ghosts and there's new ghosts,
no,
too,
give me
right?
a bonnet, one of them fluffy dresses.
I need a mustache at least 5 inches wide.
Yeah. And sideburns.
Yeah.
And a high hat.
Yes. So either a...
And that's the women.
Either a recent hipster or someone from the 1800s. He was jogging. That's what Jenny said.
Hey, look, I just saw Ghost Gunther run by.
I'm going to play you the audio again.
I mean, going to the distillery for some ghost wings.
Maybe he was.
Does she not sound convincing when she talks about this person she saw locked in Mount Hope Cemetery?
I personally have witnessed a phantom jogger in Mount Hope Cemetery. I got locked in one evening, and I couldn't find my way out. And as I was waiting for security, a man just jogged right on by. Looked like you or I, solid. I start calling out to him, hey, I need some help, I'm locked in. And he just sort of jogged straight into a tree and disappeared. But behind that tree was a nice little hole that I was able to sort of scurry under that evening.
I love how a lot of that whole story jogging is the part that's bothering you.
No, I found another one.
Okay.
Great tour guide. I couldn't find my way out. Am I going to end up knee deep in the river with this woman?
She got
lost. I got lost and I saw a jogger. I think this chick's hanging out with you eating those edibles.
All right, now listen.
That would be fun.
Jenny here, as much as Tommy does not believe her and has poked several holes in her theory, people love these Rochester candlelight tours that she does, the ghost walks.
Sure.
And if you are interested, tonight is the last one for Halloween that she's doing.
Sense. Okay.
Right? So, look, to be fair, I don't want to kill this woman too much.
Yeah, it's her business. Come on.
I mean, look, Rochester candlelight ghost
walks. People are into
walks.
It.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a reason she's able to do it, right?
But the name of the business is Rochester Candlelight Ghost Walks. You can Google it. Like we said, tonight, I think, is the last one she's having before Halloween. So if you are interested in the ghost stuff, go take a walk with her.
Have fun.
Maybe you'll see a jogger.
Maybe you'll get lost.
So as we transition here from getting locked in Mount Hope Cemetery with a ghost jogger, the most haunted places in Rochester, or the creepiest places in Rochester, because like she brings up Mount Hope here, but like this ghost tour, they do it all over the greater Rochester area, and there are other businesses like this that will do it. Like, Mount Hope Cemetery would be pretty creepy.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rochester Psych Center is a big one.
Yeah, the Nut House.
Yeah. White Lady's Castle also shows up in this story.
That's
that we're
up
talking
ironically,
about.
Right?
Yeah. Rochester's been around since the early 1800s. Mm-hmm. And people were here even before that.
Yeah, birth of a nation.
So there is a long history of tragedy to pull from, because it seems like the ghost stories that we know about only come from tragedy.
Well, yeah.
But that might be the most interesting part of this whole thing.
What's that?
The fascination that people have with ghosts and places that are haunted come from incidents that were terrible when they happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Horrifying.
Yeah. Like, let's use the Psych Center, for example. Mm-hmm. I don't know any details, but I'm going to assume there were some pretty scary things that went down inside that place.
Oh, yeah. Well, you retreated back then?
Yeah. But today, it's like really cool. How long does it take for a legitimate tragedy to become a cool ghost story?
You want like a number?
Well, like, okay, for example, if tomorrow there was a story where a man murdered 5 people in his home, his entire family, that would be the biggest news story for a month in town. There would be candlelight vigils. There would be fundraisers. There would be stories documenting the victims, wondering what went wrong, the warning signs to look for with your friends. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at some point in the future, it would become cool and scary.
Yes. I would say 2 generations of family members have to...
That long?
So is that
That's 50 years.
That's the number I had. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Look at us.
I just saw a jogger run by.
What?
And it definitely wasn't any guys we work with, so it had to be a ghost.
Yeah, because we would have heard him.
So 50 years is long enough.
Yeah, I think so.
So that means now, it's about 50 years since all the mob stuff went down here in Rochester.
Oh, that would be a good one.
So you would have no problem taking like a mob ghost
tour. I think a lot of people would sign up for that. I think family members of the people allegedly involved would want to take that
murder
tour.
What murder?
Some of those people that are...
They may actually put on the tours.
One of the guys...
This is where my grandpa, he shot somebody.
Family members of those people are still alive.
Oh, sure.
Is that not insensitive?
Hey,
pretty cool the way your grandpa got shot in the face. I mean, that's what you're saying.
You shouldn't snitch.
Right? And I mean, look, if you think I'm wrong, let's look at the tale of the White Lady's Castle. Mm. And if you're not familiar with the story, the legend goes that a young girl went for a walk one night and disappeared forever. Mm. And no one ever found out what happened to her. But her mother was so distraught, she spent the rest of her life every night searching for her and then took that search into the afterlife. Imagine that story happened here tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Teenage girl goes missing and is never found. That is horrible. Horrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
So 50 years later, because it's been 50 years since the double initial killings.
Yeah,
would you take a double initial killing tour?
They made a movie about it.
But it wasn't like,
a buddy of mine was in it.
Yeah, well, I had a speaking role, but the woman wouldn't stop looking straight into the camera.
But so maybe then more recent, maybe the gap widens as time goes on, only because like a lot of those stories, like those haunted stories, like in parks and buildings here, I mean, you'd have to really go out of your way to find what that person even looked like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Whereas like now if somebody went missing, you could see their entire life played out on social media or you know, the news. Like, you I think maybe you feel more of a connection to those stories just because it feels more real.
So right. You're saying now that it's more personal, maybe you have to wait a lot longer for those things to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So does that mean, is that why we never see modern ghosts, according to people that see ghosts?
Yeah.
People that have had those interactions?
The business dried up.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question because, you know, it's like we said this morning, as comedians, mm-hmm. right? Time plus tragedy equals comedy. Mm-hmm. And there's a time plus tragedy equals ghost entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? But with comedy, the question is always how long does the tragedy have to pass before it's funny? There's the same question with the ghost stuff.
The ghost stories, too, are going to change because the ghost stories of the past probably have just... We only know of them because they've been told, a game of telephone over time. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, if I want to look up that tragic story, I can read every horrific detail involved in it if I was really that interested.
No, but you look at other stories, like, okay, the Amityville Horror, which wasn't a real story, right?
Right.
But every detail you wanted about that story...
You could look it up.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's not that...
But, I don't know. There's something that just feels more real now, and maybe that's just because it's, you know, the time I'm living in.
Okay.
I don't know.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we started this conversation with a story on 10NBC from over the weekend. Rochester Candlelight Ghost Tours. This woman named Jenny, she runs the thing. She takes people around the most, quote, haunted places in the greater Rochester area to find ghosts. And again, because this audio is so great.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jenny talking about when she saw a ghost inside Mount Hope Cemetery.
I personally have witnessed a phantom jogger in Mount Hope Cemetery. I got locked in one evening and I couldn't find my way out. And as I was waiting for security, a man just jogged right on by. Looked like you or I, solid. I start calling out to him, hey, I need some help, I'm locked in. And he just sort of jogged straight into a tree and disappeared. But behind that tree was a nice little hole that I was able to sort of scurry under that evening.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, we just follow-up up question. Yes, yeah. Man in the back.
All right, so she said that she was locked in Mount Hope, right? And I've actually heard of other people that happening to them, so that's not unique. She said at the end there was a hole she scurried into.
Yeah, but
she wiggled through like a piece of the fence.
Oh, I thought she meant she like found a...
Oh,
I thought she meant she slept in a hole. Okay,
no,
that
you're
makes
probably
sense.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Like saying like a gap in the fence.
No, you're right. I heard the same thing. I was picturing like her sleeping under a tree or
something. Jen, did you sleep in the cemetery in a hole? Okay, good. I'm glad she got up. All right, look, so here's the thing. You don't believe in any kind of paranormal.
I don't think there's an afterlife.
You think people that believe in ghosts are stupid?
Yeah, well, they're fools. They're goddamn
fools. What is the difference?
They're not stupid. They're goddamn fools.
Can you explain the difference between stupid?
They're not stupid people.
You're thinking versus stupid. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think a fool and stupid are two different things. You're a fool if you buy into this, but you can have a job, lace your shoes, and reproduce.
You are really... Bro, stupid can reproduce. Look at your mom and your dad. They reproduced even more stupid.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like when you make a copy of a copy, it's not so sharp. That's Tommy. He's a third.
Coming from a...
Well, no, go ahead. What you got? Nothing.
Your family.
Yeah, your family's also stupid. See how stupid he is? You think I'm stupid, well, guess what you are? Also stupid.
If anybody in this room should have any experience with ghosts and tragedies, it should be you. You literally lived in a house where somebody got murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, the guy killed himself. Yeah. He shot himself in the head. Yeah.
Either way. Still tragedy. Still somebody died there.
Yeah. No, I never... Nothing. I'm with Tommy. I don't believe in ghosts.
But it's just amazing that, like, nothing creeped you out. Or, like...
Well, there's lots to creep you out in
that house.
Maybe
you didn't see a ghost, but, like...
Dad, Pat?
Like, you never...
You're not going to the Bills game today. He took his buddies. Get off the edge of the bed.
Because I'm not going to lie. Every little sound or unexplainable thing in that house would have creeped me out.
No, there was too much going on. Worry about ghosts.
Right.
They only had one bathroom.
I mean, Kimmy, you would go on something like this for entertainment, right?
Oh,
you can't defend it and come in here and be like,
no,
nice, like my dad.
No, I wouldn't be that interested in doing this because I feel like most of the time you're just going to be disappointed because like if there is like a ghost out there, I would think like a giant group of people is probably going to scare that ghost away.
Wait, you can scare ghosts?
Ghosts
are there to scare you.
Yeah. I always feel like everybody's ghost story that they have is like them alone experiencing something that they can't explain. Like nobody is ever there to verify your story.
Well, yeah, if you verified it, there wouldn't be a question of whether or not ghosts exist.
That's my point, though. Like I don't think like if you really wanted a true creepy, haunted experience, a group is not the way to go.
It is funny, too. Like, Jenny, the woman that audio would keep playing of how she saw the jogger in Mount Hope. Like, if that was a night she did a candlelight ghost tour and everybody left, and then she's like, oh, then I saw a jogger. Come on, Jenny, we just missed him.
Wow.
Well, I'm just saying.
Timing's everything, Jenny.
Paid $15 and you saw the jogging ghost? Like, I don't think you should hate on people or think that they're fools that want to believe in this stuff or do believe in this stuff, right? Unless it's affecting your life in a legitimate way. Yeah. Like, Jenny's worked a business out of this. Good for her.
Absolutely.
The one thing that does bother me, however, can we stop with the ghost hunters? Can we stop
like
with
the
that?
Show, the TV shows?
No.
These guys go and look for the spirits, the orbs.
Oh, they have the technology and stuff. Yes. Yeah.
They take themselves so seriously.
Yes, they do. Like, I did one of those.
You did a ghost
With these two dudes.
Okay, did you see anything?
No. I saw two goddamn fools with a lot of equipment.
Like, it's one thing to go to a cemetery or whatever and feel creeped out.
As entertainment.
Yeah. It's another to have, like you said, equipment with friends where you're just making up readings on a machine that some hippie burnout sold you for $5,000.
Yes, exactly right.
It's like, I mean, just stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
Yes.
And, like, you can't tell me those people make money doing that. Like, outside of the folks that have a television show, I'm guessing you're upside down on your ghost register machine.
And, in fact, you found two guys. I did it with these two dudes and with two other people from the morning show. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe they found two guys to go on this together. Like, they were both really into it. And we were at some bed and breakfast downtown. And there were people there staying there. And we're walking around.
I think more people are into it than you think.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, even if they don't go out of their way to do, like, the ghost hunting and stuff, like, I think there are a lot of people that find that stuff interesting.
Didn't we find out the majority of Americans believe in ghosts?
Or believe in an spirit world?
Well, no, I mean, I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference between an afterlife and ghosts, because there are people that believe in an afterlife that don't believe in ghosts.
But if you believe in ghosts, you had to believe in an afterlife.
Okay.
You have to, because these people live there, and you believe in them. You would have to believe in an afterlife. Yeah.
Okay, in 2020, only 4 in 10 Americans said they believe in ghosts, so it's less than 50% of Americans. Right.
That's still a lot of people. I mean, my sister believed in an afterlife. She was a born-again Christian, but she also believed in ghosts and spirits and healing and all that stuff.
Sure. Well, I mean,
she bought into all of it.
There's some people that do that, and then there are other people. That, I don't know, man.
I mean, there are folks
that are rational human beings that you like that swear they've seen stuff and will sit there and recount the story and tell you, I didn't believe
it. I had a father-in-law my first father-in-law, he grew up in a house that used to be I guess you'd call it a funeral home, but I'm going like way back.
Okay.
And he swore, and he would like freak out when he'd tell you these stories of the ghosts he saw walking around the house as a little kid. And he believed it. So I don't know if that's just a little kid's imagination.
Turns out his mother was just sleeping around and his dad.
Probably.
It's a ghost.
It was a rough family.
All right. So again, because Jenny does seem like she's an expert.
She seems like a good person.
Yeah, minus the whole getting stuck in Mount Hope.
Right.
If you want to go do this, again, if there's any space left, tonight is the last one before Halloween to get all creeped out. The Rochester Candlelight Ghost Walks.
Yeah.
And if you go see Jenny tonight, tell her that we're big fans.
No, big time fans.
All right, let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, we're going to have a debate.
What's going on?
Well, because it seems when the three of us read this headline about an incident at a school yesterday, we all pictured different people.
Yeah.
And in most situations, Kimmy would be right. But there is something about this specific place, at this specific time, with this specific kind of interaction.
Oh, it's very specific.
Specific. Where it's going to be a lady and a certain type of lady.
Oh.
Lady. You're hanging out the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. This story, Tommy, specifically, comes to us from SOTUS. The headline reads, parent in custody after allegedly assaulting deputy at SOTUS Middle School.
Oh, okay.
Story on 10 NBC says a 40-year-old woman.
That's the ripest age of a woman.
Oh, what? My God.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Worst Pacino movie ever.
She right. She ripe for a fight, baby.
But that ain't the only one. Because the story on 10 NBC says not only was a 40-year-old woman, but also a 58-year-old woman. They were being disruptive at the front office of the school. Mm. And when asked to leave, refused yesterday afternoon. Eventually, the school resource officer, that would be the police officer inside the school, had to be called. Mm-hmm. Authorities say when the officer was explaining that these women had to leave the premises to them.
They weren't hearing it?
No. In fact, they hit the officer.
Jesus Christ.
And resisted arrest. Quick timeout. It says they hit the officer, the allegations say.
Yeah.
Like in unison?
Well, they must have, like, ganged up on him.
1, 2, 3, go! No, like, did you both have the same thought at the same time?
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
like, how did you make... Yeah, you would have had... Somebody had to make that decision, I'm and the other had to move. Agree.
The officer reacted to that move. The other woman reacted
jumped
to
in.
That move.
Okay.
That's the way I see it, as a chain reaction.
Okay, fair enough.
Then a choreographed Dancing with the Stars moment.
But let's even talk that out, right? Yeah. Right? Because, like, one person doing something really stupid, that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. But two grown women...
That's surprising.
Yeah.
According to the story, hit the police officer in the middle of the day at a middle school. Yeah. Not one of those women in that moment. Like, you've already refused to leave. Mm-hmm. Now the cop has come and given you a second opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. One of the women throws a punch first, according to police.
Yeah.
The second one doesn't go, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, we have now hit.
Well, you're already down at the school losing your minds together.
Okay.
Right. You know, you kind of were on the same page to begin with. But your point, like, when my wife used to deal with this stuff when she worked in the school system.
Oh, yeah, she probably saw it all.
Oh, yeah. And usually there was just a single person, not a group.
Now, by the way, we're not done with this story. Mm. A school staff member also ended up with minor injuries as well.
Stepping in, yeah.
Yep. And if that wasn't bad enough.
Well, what else?
All of this happened in front of a student that happened to be sitting in the office.
Oh, that student had the best day ever. Because if that student was in the office for poor behavior.
Oh, he's getting off.
Well, and he's got all of the gossip.
Oh, try me now.
So the 40-year-old woman was charged.
Try me now, okay?
The 40-year-old woman was charged with second-degree assault, resisting arrest, endangering the welfare of a child, and third-degree criminal trespass.
You know, that's a full day.
She was taken to jail.
Yeah.
The 58-year-old was also charged with a bunch of stuff, but she was cut loose with a court date coming up. A lot of stuff going on in this
story.
So here's the thing. Mm. You have all the details now, but... As we do our jobs, we get the headline first, and we are just as guilty as everyone listening to this show. Once you read a headline, you have an idea of what the story is in full immediately.
Yeah, you jump.
And Kimmy, when you read the headline last night, parent in custody after allegedly assaulting a deputy at Sodus Middle School, you had in your head?
Dad.
Really?
Yeah. When it came to the assault part, because, like, I don't get me wrong, like, I know mom can go in and cause a scene too, but when it got physical, I automatically pictured dad and hurt ego.
Thoughts, Tommy?
Mine went straight to woman because all of my wife's stories were moms, all of them. Some closer to home than others.
Okay. Walking a tightrope, buddy.
Oh, buddy.
Up on a tightrope. Kimmy?
Yeah.
Any other setting with that headline, I would 100% agree with you. If this was a sporting event, if it was an after-school activity, if we were inside a store, dad is a good guess.
That's dad country.
That's right. But if a parent is getting arrested inside of a school during the day, it is always a mom.
It's pissed off mama.
If you look at the International Report of Parents Arrested Inside Schools, which they do annually, 99.4% of arrests are mothers.
It's mama drama.
I just made that statistic up, but it's so common you probably believed it when I said it.
Yeah.
I mean, moms are the more passionate parent when it comes to advocating for their kids.
And it's that mama bear.
But I think for me, it went beyond the actual issue of whatever a parent would show up for. The reason I thought dad was only because once the resource officer shows up, I would think, oh, this guy's trying to challenge me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how it would escalate to the point of getting physical. That's why I thought dad.
Okay.
Because now I'm mad for multiple reasons.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think this has less to do, and I am also offended that you saw violence and automatically thought, man, that's a small-minded way to think in the world we live in today.
But you just described all the other places where Dad would cause a scene.
That's irrelevant. What I'm getting at is, I don't think this has so much to do with the personality of a mother or a father. I think the difference between mom and dad in these specific situations lies in how we treat each other at home as parents. Tommy, you tell me when you think I'm wrong.
Right.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Moms have a lot of say about what happens with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, dad is a major part of the decision-making process. But if mom is passionate about something, I think most dads are going to back off.
Yeah.
Fair statement?
Mm-hmm, if they're smart.
If my wife feels really strongly about something with our girls, outside of a very rare occasion, I'm going to say, all right, my wife knows best here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let it go.
She is a doctor.
Again, completely unnecessary.
A highly educated, woman who is a doctor. I would probably go with whatever she says too.
We're talking kids. We're not talking going into surgery.
But like follow her path.
Oh my God. See, this is what I mean. So when mom goes into a school and starts making demands, or when they don't like the answers that they get if their kid is involved in something, or if someone at the school doesn't want to hear their side of the story, they're going to react differently because they love their kid and they know what's best for their kid. But most importantly, Tommy, they are rarely, rarely told they are wrong about what they want for their kid. So when mom gets told on a rare occasion, no, you're wrong, that's going to invoke emotion that they don't let out on a normal basis.
You're so right.
Thank you.
But also, if a man goes into the school with an issue, he's most likely going to have to deal with a woman.
Ooh.
Because that's predominantly who's working the front of the school.
Okay.
So his demeanor is going to change. He's not going to probably face another guy his age. He's going to face a woman his age.
Ooh.
And I think that's going to take his ass down a peg. Mm. Where a woman walks in, sees a contemporary.
Fair fight kind of thing.
And well, the game's on.
Great point, man. Yeah. We are destroying Kimmy's theory all over the place.
Chick on chick. Mama on mama.
And I think it goes even further than that.
Wait, more?
Well, look, dads will also get mad in this situation. If dad goes down to the middle school and his kid's in trouble, or they said he did something wrong, or something's going on, and he's told he's wrong and he's going to get mad. Men have more experience walking away from a situation to try and find another way.
Yeah.
We get told no all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We get feet put down in front of our faces on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the same thing for moms.
True.
Can't say the same thing for moms. So, Kimmy, that's why the second this headline hit the news, it was going to be a mom.
And don't forget, most guys have been in trouble at school, have kind of been in whatever is going on.
Oh, so you feel like they...
I kind of get what's going on here.
Okay.
My wife...
My kid deserves... You think a dad would be more likely to say, my kid may be part of the problem if it's
and
a
just
kid
kinda,
issue?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's been down this road.
To his point. Again, we're talking about these two women, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, 40-year-old woman, 58-year-old woman. They were arrested at the Sotus Middle School yesterday afternoon after police say they refused to leave after they were hanging out in the front office. Something was going on. Who knows? We don't know what the issue was initially. A resource officer was called. He then explained they had to leave. While he was doing that, police say that these women hit the officer and then resisted arrest. There was another school employee that was injured in the incident. There was a kid in the office while this all went down because of that, the 40-year-old woman was charged with everything. She was taken to jail. The 58-year-old woman was charged with a bunch of stuff. She was cut loose, got a court date coming up. Kimmy assumed it was a man because she is
Dad. I just saw, when it got physical, I thought dad.
Oh, Mama Gets Physical.
Mama Gets Physical is one of my favorite Ribs Arkansas songs.
Mama went down to the Sotus Middle School. She ain't going to be no fool. She got physical with the school resource officer. And then she got cuffed and roughed. That's what I call box wine mama drama.
See, it's one of those abstract country songs. Yeah. It doesn't have to rhyme, Kimmy, right? You just
it's
let
more
it go.
Dylan.
Yeah.
A little more folk.
Yeah. There's a story there.
No, but to your point about dads understand kids can screw up better.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up my wife. She's a doctor. Ivy League educated.
She's a doctor.
Big freaking deal. No, it's very impressive. But my wife growing up, was a giant nerd.
She never got in trouble.
And had great grades.
Yeah.
And, like, my girls don't get in trouble, but, like, my oldest, what time is it? Okay. My oldest, like, last year, her grades slipped a little bit.
Yeah.
And they slipped, but they slipped to a point where if I had ever gotten those grades, it would have been the greatest day of my life.
Oh, they would have been calling you professor in that house.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, my wife saw this, and she was very distraught. And I understand, because she has an expectation of our daughters based on what she went through. And for me, I kind of, like, I'm trying to walk that line between, like, yes, I know what she's capable of. She needs to be better. But
you've been down this road. She never was.
Exactly. And you only know what you know.
Mm-hmm. My wife never got in trouble in school.
But I think that theory about dads getting in, that's a great theory. That dads are more likely to say, I can see my kid doing this than a mother.
Yeah, I did it.
Because my child would never. But it is a very weird side-by-side as we talk about moms versus dads and how they would handle the situation. Because, Tommy, on one hand, you can respect a mother that goes to bat for her kids.
Yes.
Your kids need an advocate. Mm-hmm. That can go a long way for a kid, seeing their parents stick up for them in a situation where maybe that kid is getting railroaded. Because not every time a kid is accused of something or chastised for something, it's not always appropriate.
There could be a reason behind it. Yeah.
And all of that with a mom comes from a place of love. It's love. But dear Lord, ladies, you got to know when to back down.
Yeah.
Like, if the allegations are true, where did you think hitting a cop inside of school was going to land you? You want to see a passionate parent involved in their kid's life, but, like...
Maybe look in the mirror before you go down.
Yeah, but...
Look yourself in the mirror.
Okay.
And if you're standing there, and you've got an alcohol-related t-shirt on and a fanny pack, maybe sit down for a minute, take a breath, change your t-shirt.
I want you to know that fanny packs are very trendy again. Both my daughters and my wife have fanny
packs. I know. Now there's designer fanny packs. I'm just letting it's out of control.
If you have a fanny pack, don't feel bad about wearing it. You were saying, Kim,
I do also want to point out, I mean, there is a history of dads causing issues at schools.
But like we usually sporting events, soccer practice.
Still at a school, but it's still at a kid's event.
It's a different environment.
It's a vibe.
Okay,
it's a different vibe. Sporting event.
I'm almost proud of him.
It's a vibe. Don't be proud of him because you're going to start trying to say more Gen Alpha things.
No, but it's a vibe. A sporting event is a different vibe than walking in to a classroom where it's quiet. It's an office.
I agree with you.
There's not a sound being made.
Yeah, but you still feel like your kid is getting railroaded and causing a scene in front of parents, teachers. Other kids.
All right, I think I got it. I think I got it.
I mean, right. I know it's two different places, but it's still, you're still getting to that point of anger.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
When dads get to a point of anger like that, you can argue that they are being influenced by the energy around them.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Like a sporting event or a store or something like that. Yes. Dads will react based on the energy around them. And I think Tommy's right. If you walk into a quiet office,
we're women.
Yes. We're women. And here's the thing. I don't think women are going to react that same way at a sporting event as much as a dad would, right? Like, because there's more people there. Yeah. I think it also has to do with the eyes that are on you at the time. So, yeah, Kimmy, you could not be more wrong. You wrong. You dumb.
I just said dads cause scenes too.
Yeah. Oh, they do. We agree.
But not this specific scene.
Can't wait for the first dad to show up.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Come on, dad.
No, I'm rooting for you.
There are exceptions to every rule.
There are, but you're right. It's a blowout with chicks.
You know, you do have to wonder, as we wrap this up here, how close the average parent would be to an incident like this in the right circumstance. Because if we're going to be fair in this story, we don't know why these women were at the school in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to know, honestly, what would justify their alleged response, right? Like, there's nothing that someone could tell me outside of the most heinous thing where this woman allegedly hits a cop and, I understand why she did. But, like, could the average dad listening to this show right now see the mother of their children reacting this way in the right circumstance?
Oh.
And, like, if you're a guy who has, you know, I'll use normal as whatever the average middle-aged wife is, right? Could you see your wife getting a phone call from the cops saying you got to go pick up your wife because she did exactly
this? She flipped
out. Yeah. Because, like, I'll ask, could you see your wife doing something like this?
I'm sure she could be pushed to it. I don't see her assaulting an officer.
Okay.
But I could see, like, if she really thought that the, like, if I say my grandson was in danger, I could see her taking it to that level I don't want to see.
Kicking it up.
Yes.
With Tommy's wife. That's a new 3 o'clock shift on CMF. Bills fans wanted bad things to happen to this guy.
Yeah, but you're saying what?
Well, like, here's the thing. It's like, yeah, oh, great. Oh, no, too far. Because...
that bad?
Okay, look, man, he's not going to die, but this changes everything for him.
Mm.
Like, for good.
Oh.
I mean, well, not for life. Okay, you're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. Yesterday, it was the worst possible news for former Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs.
So what happened?
So during the game against the Colts on Sunday, he went down with a non-contact knee injury. And everyone in Houston waited with bated breath.
So he banged his knee up a little bit.
Well, no, there was no banging. He was running, and he collapsed.
It's one of those things where I think the less of an injury you see that takes somebody down, the more serious it is.
So his knee just crapped out on its own.
Yeah. So he eventually got
like
up,
a blowout,
walked off the field.
Yeah.
So
right.
He was okay.
All right.
Okay enough to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was waiting to see what happened.
Yeah.
And all Monday, no word. They were checking with experts.
So they put the needle in, give him a little go-go juice.
Yesterday it was announced he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
He is done for the year.
Okay. So how bad is an ACL?
Well, it takes a long time to recover from.
So this year out.
He's done for the rest of the season.
Okay.
All right. So let's put it this way. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. It's worse than just the rest of the season.
What is it?
Well, when the Texans traded for Stephon Diggs, they reworked his contract. And without getting too complicated, they made it so he'd be a free agent at the end of this year. He'd be free to sign with any team.
Okay.
And it's the first time in his career.
He was free to go.
He would be a free agent, able to sign with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Diggs wanted a chance to get one more payday for the last 2-3 years. Now, it wasn't going to be huge, but it would be significant.
Another Ferrari.
You got it. This injury makes that almost impossible.
So that's out.
No, so the Texans may not want him back because he's damaged goods with the knee. Recovering from an ACL as a wide receiver in your 30s, can you name anybody who's done it?
So you're not going to be the same back even if you come.
Yeah, usually players are a little, you know.
Back receiver.
Yeah, no, you know all about back receivers.
Even if those knees are fully healed, it's a tough mental thing to recover from, too.
So he may not even be ready for opening day next year.
Yeah.
So that's going to shrink the potential teams that would want to sign you.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there is a team that takes a flyer on Stephon Diggs, it can take a full 2 seasons to come back from a knee injury like this. We witnessed that last year with Von Miller.
So he's middle-aged by then.
He's done. You're not going to sign him.
So he's out.
Yeah, you're not going
to
sign
him. So you're thinking he's done with football.
Now, someone will sign him,
and
he'll play somewhere. But it's not going to be a team like Kansas City or Baltimore that want to up their... Now we're thinking more a team like the Colts or the Jags who are trying to fill out their roster with a veteran presence.
Mm.
I mean, it changes everything. Career-wise, it's the worst case scenario for Stephon Diggs.
Damn.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Bills fans... not fans of Stephon Diggs right now.
Well, it kind of ended ugly.
Yeah.
Like, and we thought, like, we want all the bad things to happen to Stephon Diggs and only to Stephon Diggs.
You don't
want to
see him succeed, put it that way.
But this is one of those things, like, oh, no, too far.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is not, I didn't want this. This is not what we wanted, right?
All right.
I feel bad. At least I think that's most Bills fans.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't leave in a way that would make you just despise the guy, right? Like,
I'm not despised enough to want him to blow his knee out.
Because,
but it's not a concussion.
It's
not something like a brain injury. I mean, it's a knee. I mean, that's pretty common injury in football, right? Knees, shoulders.
But it essentially ends the career he had.
I got it. Yeah. But he's not going to be a veg. He's not going to be on a machine.
A knee machine.
You probably won't even notice his difference when he walks.
Okay, yes. In the long term for life, you're right.
Right.
But he may have cost himself $15 million.
Yeah. Right.
That's a pretty significant amount of money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, fair statement, Kimmy?
Yeah.
And like you said, he's not a big enough star where he can go do other things.
Well, no, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kimmy.
You know, I would say he's still a name, but this definitely doesn't, I mean, this should
he's
be
a
his
big
this
name.
Should be his peak right now, and it's...
Oh, he peaked already.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, he was on pace for 1,000 yards and 100 catches, which is impressive, especially for a receiver his age. Somebody would have taken a flyer on him next year.
Yeah.
Somebody would have given him a contract where we were like, whoa, really? And that ain't going to happen.
Right.
That is not going to happen anymore. And here's what I'm kind of nervous about. Again, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. It was announced yesterday, former Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs tore his ACL on Sunday in the Texans versus Colts game. He's done for the year. Maybe he's able to play opening day next season, but he's a free agent, and Stephon Diggs with time seems like a bad combination.
Oh, like too much time on his hands?
Yeah. Because
he's a drama queen.
Yeah, there's that. There's that.
What
else? Stories about there was that story where he was dating two women at the same time.
That's pretty cool.
On Valentine's Day.
And now we know he was doing it with a bad knee.
He had them in the same hotel, and he was like running from room to room like it was a bad 80s sitcom.
That is awesome.
So I don't know, man. Like he's one of those guys, and granted, he doesn't have anything scary in his background or like,
no, he's
despicable.
Not incognito.
Exactly. Right. Like
nothing.
No, that's
what
like
I mean.
That.
Like guys have left on worse terms.
But I guess what I'm saying is like I when guys like that lose football, I start to worry about like where they end up going. And he's had like a fashion career, so maybe that's what consumes his time, which would be really good.
Okay,
but I don't know, man.
Yeah, so you don't see him having
a comeback,
like a business to fall back on, or
maybe
something
the,
like
maybe
another.
The,
maybe
a fashion thing.
Yeah, I bet you. I mean,
where are you going with that?
He's actually very into it.
No, I get he's into it. How big of a name is he in fashion?
You've never won a Diggs?
Is that what that is?
Remember, right before he got traded, he put out a line of high-end, like, casual.
He's always at Fashion Week. Right. Didn't he go to Fashion Week in, like, Paris and stuff?
Yeah, he takes pictures of himself. He got stuck in the water.
No, I bet you he's got other stuff going on that, you know, we don't see.
But it's not
going
to be to the extent of what he's making now.
I don't think it's going to fulfill, like, this kind of satisfaction.
But he doesn't seem like that kind of, he just seems like a ladies' man. Like, he's going to be, you know.
You're basing that entirely on one story that may not be true.
Wait, it was true.
No. Every time he's
Holiday Inn confirmed it.
Stephon Diggs was staying at the Holiday Inn.
No, he likes to keep the budget down because he doesn't know if he's going to get that next contract.
Like, I will take solace in this. Because, you know, I will admit, like, I don't want the guy to get hurt. But I did want all of the bad things except for this to happen to Stephon Diggs when he was on another team. It will be interesting to see. Like, let's say he signs with Jacksonville or L.A., the Rams, or Indianapolis, right? Like, you went from playing with Josh Allen, which is awesome, to playing with C.J. Stroud, who has struggled at points this year.
Seemed to be doing well,
but he was doing okay.
Personally.
Yeah. Now, what's your career going to be like? He's had a great quarterback everywhere he's played. Yeah. What's going to happen when Trevor Lawrence or Anthony Richardson or the ghost of Matthew Stafford is throwing you a football? Right?
So, it could be over. Ugly.
Ugly is what I'm thinking, right? If you got problems with Josh Allen, what kind of problems are you going to have with Jameis Winston? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
best of luck.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Walk it off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.